Welcome to Home Buying 101. With me today is Edgar Salcedo from Guaranteed Rate. Edgar, thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Edgar, tell me, who is Edgar Salcedo?
Who is Edgar Salcedo? Well, you're looking at him in the flesh at this moment right here. Thanks for having me here, guys. Edgar Salcedo. I'm not born here, but I'm locally raised from Arizona. I've been here my whole life. Since I was about 4 years old. I'm in the financing sector. Pretty much been finance man since right out of high school. Started with payday loans. Then I went to the auto sales, went to auto finance, and here we are doing mortgage loans now.
How long have you been in the mortgage industry?
In the mortgage industry since 2011. So what is that, 12 years now?
12 years. Where did you start off at?
I started with the credit union, the biggest credit union here in town. At the time, it was called Desert Schools. Now they just changed the name to Desert Financial. But that's where I picked up my lending career in mortgages.
Awesome. And then when did you switch over to kind of more of the retail side?
You know, in 2015, I realized it was time to make a move. It was time to make a move. And at the time, I knew I wanted something a little bit more options as well, too. And I decided to jump ship and become retail in 2015.
That's awesome. Okay. So, Edgar, with our podcast every week, we go and talk about what the market looks like every week. So this week, we've got an active listings of 14,531, which is down about 194 since last week. So I've been looking at the numbers. Every week, it's going down about 200 listings a week.
Sure.
Coming soon, we're looking at 542. Listings pendings right now, we're at 9,368. That's up about 109 from last week. Median listing price is at 468,000. Median sold prices at 413,000, and days on market are at 81 days on market. So with it being at 413 median price, what would that look like on a monthly basis for payments for clients today?
Yeah, you bet. Well, I mean, what we're looking at is your biggest two programs out there, either going to go conventional or FHA at that price point. So, you know, you're probably looking at somewhere around $2,400 to $2,500, depending there. If you're talking, you know, either FHA or conventional, these payments do not include taxes, insurance. Added to that is that those are all variables, right?
Of course.
So, so that's about the average payment right now.
Of course. I mean, I'll give you guys this example. It's actually funny. We talk about not including taxes and insurance where, I had an agent call me yesterday, and I was looking at an HOA for a property at $303 a month for HOA. So, of course, that's an added cost to that. So, it's just the 2,500 plus whatever else you have to look at those factors, don't you?
It's a nice HOA if I got a home gym.
It doesn't. It's just a very high HOA.
Armed security.
I hope so. So, Edgar, we've talked about, up to this point in the process, we've talked about inspection, we've talked about going out there and finding a home. So I wanted to have you on today to talk about appraisal. So what is an appraisal?
Yeah, you bet. So an appraisal is a great question that I get asked a lot, especially considering the fact that most buyers are recommended to also get a home inspection. So what's the difference between the inspection and the appraisal? The appraisal, in short terms, has to do with the value of the home. It is the eyes of the bank on the property. See, I don't visit these properties. You know, people are out there shopping. You know, hopefully I get invited after at the homeowner party, things like that, where I do walk the property. But prior, when we're under contract, I'm not out with the realtor. I'm not out with the buyers looking at these properties. So the bank needs to have eyes on the ground because they have boots walking in and seeing the property. So the appraiser is going to go out there. They're going to take a look at the property. They're going to walk the home. Everything is visual for the most part. They do turn on the water. They turn on thermostat and things like that, make sure that the home is functional and livable. And then they're going to give us a report detailing us the condition of the property in the aspect of like, is what we saw. And this is what the value we think that the property is appraised at based on what we saw, based on the comparable data that's in the market. Hey, homes in the similar square footage. This house had upgrades, you know, had a pool, had landscape, comparables with that type of upgrades. This is what they're selling for. And they give us that as the, you know, to the bank, us as the lender, and we use that to determine that the purchase price that they went under contract, the price is worth what it's been negotiated.
So let me ask you this, does the appraiser get access to the inspection report that the client had previously done. Since they do inspection and then, of course, you do appraisal.
This will get access to it.
Does the appraiser?
The appraiser got, no, to the inspection report, no.
So pretty much they're doing their own report based on what they can see and what they're discovering. They're not able to access what the inspector had maybe seen a week or two before that.
No, unless it's visual. So for example, if it's caught off guard that almost, you know, he looks at the roof and he notices there's shingles missing right away and he's like, oh my gosh, that's visual. He can see that there's damage there. He's going to take pictures, he's going to notate it. If he walks in, he knows there's water leakage. Hey man, this drywall's got stains. Looks like there might be a plumbing issue underneath this drywall. He is going to notate that, but he's not going to crawl in the attic space. And, you know, he's not going to take a camera down the piping and find out what the piping
is. Sewer scope.
Yeah. You know, so none of that is what the appraiser is doing, but he will notate visual things, you know, and depending on the appraisal, they can get a little bit more picky, right? For example, you have, let's say bars over your windows and, you know, that's a big no-no for government loans. You know, whether you're doing a VA loan or an FHA loan, which are federally backed loans, they will call those out and take a picture of the window and say, hey, this is a safety hazard, especially if it doesn't have a release, release in the back, or perhaps there is brush up against the home. Maybe they got a tree, they got grapevines or, you know, something fancy that they thought was cute. Unfortunately, that draws termites into the property. You know, having the earth to ground contact is the term that they use. So that will obviously create problems for the collateral, right? The home is the collateral for the home.
So that affects the evaluation of the home and actually decreases the value that it could offer.
You know, it not necessarily decreases the value per se, but it could cause potential for problems on that home, which could be, you know, again, the home is the collateral for the amount of money they're giving. You know, we just ran numbers on a 413 home. Okay, so the house is worth 413, Francisco, but we noticed that there's brush up against this home here that's touching it. It's already created, well, maybe mold, right? Because there's moisture with plants. You know, we noticed there might be termites crawling in now because of that. They made their way up the plant, now they're in the attic. You know, we want to make sure we protect and make sure that this property stays at that 413 value. We need to have this treated, or we need to have that brush removed. And once you get it removed, we need to come back out, take pictures, and confirm that the work has been completed.
So sometimes, let's say, for example, if they run into something like that, they might not give you a complete appraisal. They want to come back and see that that's been removed before they give you an appraisal.
Correct. It's called subject to. Okay. So, hey, this property is subject to these items being completed, right? So when we look at the appraisal, it's either as is or it's a subject to appraisal. So when we look at that subject, if it does have the subject to, they'll have an additional addendum. Well, what is it? You know, what is that they're calling out? Maybe the heater wasn't working. Hey, there's problems with the spoiled water heater. See, the house has to be little. It doesn't have to be perfect. We understand that not every home is what everyone's personal taste is. Oh, it doesn't have the granite you want, things like that. But that doesn't necessarily mean the house is not functional. If it's got heat, if it's got, you know, thermostat, if it's got running water, the toilet's flush, hey, this is a functional home. Someone can move in right now and live in it. You know, but if the windows are broken, it's like, hey, this window's broken. It's literally, you know, someone threw a rock through it because it's been abandoned, things like that. They'll call things like that out. And again, that appraisal, when it's subject to, those items will have to be rectified prior to the loan closing in most circumstances.
So how often does that happen with an appraisal?
You know, for the most part, sellers do a pretty good job of getting the home ready prior to. If they're working with a good real estate agent, the agent's going to prep them. From the moment, like, hey, you need to take a look at these items, because if you take an offer that's going to be a government offer or an FHA loan, like, these approvals, they're going to want to do a good job of trying to clean it out. So you don't see a lot of it because of that when they're prepped correctly. But occasionally you are going to have that one circumstance that comes in. It's like, dude, you know, there's obviously roof damage right here. You know, you can see that every time we went under the carport and we noticed there's moisture areas that need to be cleaned up. Unfortunately, those get called out, and we'll have to get them fixed.
And I know that, and correct me if I'm wrong, is I know that when you request an appraisal, it goes into a pool, so you can't pretty much choose whoever's going to go out there and appraise. It's kind of like to avoid influence or to avoid you reaching out to the appraiser and saying, hey, make sure it appraises above this. It goes into a pool, and it's an anonymous of who actually appraises these properties.
That's correct. The appraiser is an independent party to the transaction. So they need to not be on the bank side. They don't need to be on the buyer side, the seller side. They're of what we call a neutral party to the transaction, similar to the title's a neutral party to the transaction, because that way there's no conflict of interest, you know, either on the seller side or on the buyer side or on the lender side, right? We want to make sure that everybody gets a fair deal and a fair assessment. And because of that, we have a random draw of appraisers that, hey, they all belong to this, you know, appraising pool. The bank goes in there and says, hey, we have a new order. They go into the desk and they randomly select an appraiser to say, hey, this is the work order, you know, and an appraiser will get assigned to go out there and perform the work on that property.
So what happens if the appraisal comes in hot? What happens there?
Well, that's typically great news for the buyer, you know, that they walk in with instant equity. You know, the house went under contract for the average median price of, let me say, 314.
413.
413, and it comes in at 420. You know, you're walking in with equity right there because you're buying the home for more than what it's worth. You know, I'm sorry, you're buying it for less than what it's worth. So now you have that cushion, you know, of equity, and they're saying, hey, I'm getting good deals. Like buying a $10,000 car and got it for $5,000. Man, this is
And the advantage of that, of course, is that report is only seen by the buyer, not by the seller. So they could be walking into equity and the seller really doesn't know.
Yeah, correct. They can be walking into equity. You know, and sometimes the seller knows, you know, if they need to unload a property real quickly. Some sellers need to move, unfortunately. They have life circumstances, and some sellers are quick to just say, hey, you know, could they be leaving money on the table? Yeah, you know, I mean, it happens sometimes. You know, the market's very volatile. Because the other thing to consider is that when it comes to that random pool of appraisers, you can have two or three appraisers look at that same property, and all of them will have an opinion of value. So that is what the lender looks at. When you look at the appraisal, you'll literally see the words opinion of value written on there, because it is done by a licensed professional, but that's their opinion of value. It's an appraiser. It's like you taking a piece of art to an art auction. You can talk to different auctioneers, and they're all going to give you their perspectives of like, hey, this is what we think it's worth based on their experiences and their value. So yeah, you know, obviously, but the seller is not typically going to be looking at the appraisal report.
So if you disagree, either the buyer disagrees or the realtor disagrees with the value that's in the appraisal, they think it's coming in too low, can you ask for a second appraiser or appraisal?
Yeah, in some circumstances. Now, there has to be, in order to request a second appraisal, you have to show that there is negligence on the deal, you know, that there was negligence duty on the part of the appraiser, because you can't just disagree with a value just because you feel like it's unfit, right? And, you know, these guys are professionals, and you have to give them that benefit of the doubt that, hey, we're working with licensed professionals for a reason. You can't structure the deal necessarily to suit what you want to hear, right? Because now you're playing favorites. Like, hey, this value is, it's not in our favor, it's in their favor. So we need to have it. But yeah, if we show, and I've had several circumstances where there was negligence. There were comparables that should have been taken into account, but they weren't. The appraiser perhaps was not from that area. Maybe, you know, it's a new appraiser that came into town. Maybe they moved, they relocated, they're not familiar with the Phoenix market, whatnot, and they've given us a wrong value. So it doesn't happen as often as you think, but when it does happen, you have to show that there's,
of course. So does the bank accept the second appraiser if that comes in a little more favorable to you guys, or do they do an average of one or two?
No, they will accept the second one. They will accept the second one, you know, to show if there's negligence, and that first appraisal becomes null and void, and that new one replaces it.
Okay. So what happens if the appraisal comes in lower than what, let's say, the loan amount or the sales amount is that the client's doing? What does that mean on your end as the bank?
Well, the bank's not going to, they're not, because that is the collateral of the loan, they're not going to give you a loan for something that's worth less than what they're guaranteeing that asset, right? They have to make sure that, hey, this value of this home backs up the money that I'm giving you. So if you decide you can't pay this, or, you know, life happens and you can't afford to pay the mortgage anymore, that they're going to be able to get their money back, you know, or most of it, right? So when that happens, is usually have three options when an appraisal comes in or the purchase price. You either, the quickest and fastest route that meets everyone is that the seller agrees to reduce the price. Okay, it's not worth 413, it's worth $400,000. I'll sell it for $400,000. Let's just move on. Let's get rid of this property. Most sellers don't want to get stuck making payments on these homes. They have a buyer now that's hot, that's already working with the lender. They're days away from closing. Why put it back on the market? For not that big of a difference. The second option that happens is that the seller says, no, my house is worth $413. That appraiser doesn't know what he's doing. I'm not going to sell it for for 400,000. So now the ball goes back onto the buyer. And the buyer has the option to decide, okay, how much do I really like this one? Am I willing to pay more above and beyond the $400,000? Am I going to pay that $13,000 difference out of pocket now? Because the bank's going to drop their appraised value to 400,000. So now that needs to be covered in cash, you know, and say, hey, I'll pay that $13,000. I can tell you, in most circumstances, most sellers will not overpay for the property unless it's the right home. Maybe it's in that right neighborhood. Like, dude, we got to live in this neighborhood. You know, and there's people like that. Hey, I gotta live here. Okay, the house is not worth it, but it is worth it to me because my commute to work or
the schools,
maybe they're close to family.
So, for example, if it's, let's say, 413 to 400, they'd have to come in with, let's say on a conventional, they'd have to come in with that 5% of the 400 plus an extra $13,000 above that.
That is correct. That is correct. Yeah. So they'll come with $5,000 on that 400. I'm sorry, the 5% on the 400,000, and then the difference is straight out of pocket. You know. And the third option is no parties agree and cancel out. Like, hey, seller doesn't agree, buyer doesn't agree. All right. Well, then
back to the drawing board.
Back to the drawing board.
Okay. So can you give me some examples on a client that the appraisal came in higher than, and how much higher did it come in?
Yeah. Well, you know, right now you're seeing a lot of that. I think the market is in a position right now where people are getting great deals right now, and a lot of people are getting under contract. You know, I think most of the contracts that I'm getting right now are coming in with positive values. You know, it might not be a whole lot, but, you know, they negotiated 415 and they're coming in at 425, you know, 430, because sellers are in a bit of a panic. You could say in the markets, kind of, they seem that the higher rates go out, they seem that the buyers are not as huge as an influx. So it's kind of like fishing. If they catch one in the reel and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm selling this house, I need to sell it. So therefore they don't want to put it back on the market, you know, so they'll take whatever money they get right now, which is putting buyers in a good position to walk in with equity.
That's awesome. Okay. So I'm guessing right now you're not seeing too many houses coming under appraised values.
No, not a lot. I mean, unless it's just priced ridiculously out of reach, right? You know, there are still some people that they'll look at comps, the seller or, you know, the agent will say, hey, based on these comps, your house is worth $500,000. And the seller is like, no, this is my house, man. It's worth $550,000. And they're over buying on their house until they come down to reality.
At that point, it's more of an emotional seller.
It is.
So, Edgar, if people want to reach out to you to talk about starting the process or just have any questions for you, where can we reach out to you?
Yeah, absolutely. So, my phone number, you can always call me there. Call, text me. I'm at 480-232-4221. You can also find me on my Facebook page, which is the Salcedo Team, on Facebook, or on my Instagram, which is 247LO. You guys can find me on there. It's 20 spelled out with a number 4 and 7 spelled out.
Awesome. Well, Edgar, thank you for being on the show. And of course, if you guys need anything from Edgar, any additional questions, you can always reach out to us on our socials. And if you guys need any insurance quotes or have any insurance questions, of course, reach out to us. Thank you, Edgar, for being on the show.
Thanks for having us.